everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
And here we go, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 31.
Yeah, boy.
That's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
All right, cool.
Kind of
cool,
took me off guard. I said I was ready, but...
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready enough.
Well, we have a special show today.
Yeah. We've been looking forward to doing this movie for...
No. The movie's not special to me.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. But still, we've been looking forward to the movie for a year. Yeah, so it's still special in a sense.
Yeah, I guess.
we've got two awesome guests as... has been frequently on the show, my wife, Alia.
I don't even want to call her a guest anymore.
She's just like...
She's just part of the show.
Wife, yeah.
The unofficial third co-host.
This way? That way?
That way. There you go. No. The little symbol.
This part here.
There you go.
Yeah. Holding the mic backwards.
Just got dropped back down to guest status.
Well, and that voice you heard is Cody, and that's it. We're not gonna let him plug anything.
Yeah,
that's
nope.
That's just Cody.
Cody, no plugs Thompson.
That's fine, that's me. I'm just happy to be here.
No, but seriously, Cody runs the 3B Zine website and also does his own podcast, so we've been trying to bug him to get on the show for quite some time.
I sat out on one, I forget what episode it was though.
It was 16.
Wow, 16 I sat in on.
That was a cool one. That was like an impromptu, we were at the surprise bar just drinking and let's go podcast.
We're shit faced. This is a perfect idea.
Yeah. I was like, let's just go do it right now.
How are things going for you guys?
Numbers have been coming up there's a roller coaster effect, I think, with podcasting in San Diego, and some of them are higher than others. Some of them have gone a little bit lower, but yeah, we've been gaining momentum and it's exciting. We just took 2 weeks off though. I needed some time off. Dustin and I both need some time off, and now we're getting back into it. We got some cool stuff lined up and some new projects hopefully coming out that'll be fun.
Lots more beer.
We kind of noticed the same thing. Like, there's a little bit of a roller coaster. I think we're to blame for some of it. But
well, see, I think once I stopped getting so high, our numbers started getting more high.
Oh my
so
god!
That kind of worked out.
Do you notice a difference when you're high compared to not in your ability to? Like discuss more.
I notice when he's high.
When I'm high, like I'll just talk forever and not actually say anything.
Okay.
And then I'll tend to mumble and kind of just trail off and
lose your train of thought.
So you feel more prepared.
It's more lucid.
Oh no! I hate everything when I'm not high. Like,
got it.
I don't want to talk. I get all nervous around everyone and. No, I did love that salty caramel. Made a salted caramel apple pie today, and it's fucking delicious.
You didn't bring any?
We still have to bake it, but the caramel is homemade caramel, and it's insane.
I got a spoonful, and it is pretty good.
You could have spoon-fed me some right now.
I could.
That would have been rad.
I could have just fed you like a baby bird.
Just baby bird.
Baby bird food.
That caramel might actually go with this that you brought. That actually might be pretty delicious.
Oh, speaking of which, yeah. You guys brought some beers to the house. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're recording in the new Gonzalez compound.
Yeah, he's been here for 3 weeks, and this is my first time here.
Well, I mean, not really.
That
many
doesn't
people.
Sound unreasonable. When
no,
you
not
say
many.
It.
Not, yeah, not many people actually. Have been here. I mean, there's still boxes in the living room that need to be unpacked, and this room is still a wreck. But we're getting there, man. A couple more weeks.
It's legit. I like it a lot.
We got some land now.
And you got your horror toys in a nice little case now.
I feel like I should take out the sci-fi toys. Like, they don't belong.
Yeah,
like,
no. Get that shit out of there.
Get that Boba Fett out.
Unless it's something
unless
like
you
the
have
thing
something
or
to replace
Alien
it, though.
Or Event Horizon.
I do have that new Nightmare on Elm Street one.
Yeah. That could take that place.
Yeah.
It's a little smaller, but it's similar shape.
Yeah.
That sweet, it's the 30th anniversary of Nightmare on Elm Street. Freddy's got like four different faces and the little phone that's
the
got
tongue
the tongue
phone.
Coming
yeah.
out.
It's super
as
cool.
soon as I saw the tongue phone, I was like, I want it for the tongue phone and nothing else. But Freddy is already the most represented horror figure in our house by accident, but still.
And well, by one toy.
By one toy.
Is it one toy?
That's it's funny. By one.
Would you start a sci-fi case? Is that what your thought would be, maybe?
No, I don't think I have enough sci-fi toys, and I don't have enough sci-fi, like, toy desire to have another case. I like sci-fi movies, but not enough to...
Not to have its own case.
No. That's too much.
Having a mingle is probably not a bad thought, then.
Yeah, they all hang out.
Yeah, they all hang out and be friends.
Take spaceships together.
It's a crossover. Jason already went into space.
Jason go to space? So him and Boba Fett could
have had a pizza party together.
Had a couple beers.
Now you just need the leprechaun in there. Everyone else is going to go into space.
Do they even
at
make
some
leprechaun
point.
Toys?
They
that would
have,
be amazing.
No, they
have, dude, they have to have a leprechaun. Dude, Funko needs to make a leprechaun.
I would love it. Like, there's so many Funkos that I want them to do already. Like, the leprechaun and Pinhead and the Wishmaster. Like, Pinhead would be awesome, but I figured the little pins would probably be kind of hard to do in his face.
So, you brought some beers. What are we drinking?
Right now, we're drinking a limited release from Modern Times Brewing in San Diego, and they're actually blowing up. They were just on, like, what was it, Fox News or something? I don't remember.
They flew up kind of the instant they came on the scene.
I might have to recant my statement.
About what?
About Modern Times.
What, that you like them or you don't?
I just said that I didn't like them. I just didn't get it. Like, I didn't get, like, the, like, I always thought they were kind of pedestrian style kind of beers, but what we're drinking right now is pretty damn nice.
It's a special release. It says Hulking Cantankerous Imperial Stout, and it's called Monsters Park Imperial Stout, weighing in at a huge 12%, and it tastes really boozy and really good. If there's one thing Modern Times can do, it's stout.
That's good. Even the coffee stout is pretty good.
I love the coffee stout. That's the only thing I'll drink of theirs if I drink any of it.
But I always go Blazing World. I like that one a lot. Oh, yeah. That's a go-to for me for Modern Times.
It's been a long time since my world has been blazed.
So long. Literally. Not even that long.
It's
like
been 3 days and it's been so long.
I like that Allie is here so she can just call you on all this
gonna
stuff.
It's going to be so much longer.
That's why I like that my wife isn't on the show very often, because like I can say
she can't call you on your shit.
I can say all of the bullshit that I want and be like, yeah, that bitch makes me pancakes every morning. What?
You did have a nice big sandwich when we walked in.
I did. And in fact, I had pancakes this morning. That's real talk.
And we also brought some of the pizza port that George loves.
Yeah, that's your go-to, yeah?
I like it. Well, because, you know... Because
it's cheap and there's a lot.
And also on this show, like, we tended to get drunk really fast. And I'm trying to slow that down just a touch. And the sessionable IPA is really good.
Right? Yeah, so a six-pack of pints for $10 is a really good way to slow it down.
I've been saying on my podcast since they came out that that's the best value in San Diego beer, without a doubt. You can't argue that statement at all.
Yeah. Even those Swamis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's $12.99 or something for six 16-ounce cans of a pretty good IPA. Yeah. I mean, you can't lose.
Those Swamis are what, like almost 8%?
Yeah, those are...
It's good stuff.
This one's the Session IPA, but the other one's definitely not.
So. Yeah, I have a ton of good memories with these six packs from Pizza Port.
Oh, yeah.
So many good memories.
Welcome to the San Diego Beer Jack-Off Hour.
go listen to my podcast. Yeah, right?
Well, we did just finish Beer Week, so I mean, it's a semi-appropriate.
It felt like Beer Month.
Did you guys do a lot of promoting, and not
we
promoting,
did,
but like events for
Well, we did one podcast with a couple of guys, Brian and a guy named Omar, who were doing an event called The World's Biggest Bottle Share. We did an episode with them to talk about that, and due to limited time, we didn't get into too much Beer Week talk with those two guys. I wanted to talk to them about a little bit more. And then for Beer Week itself, I just moved also. I live more in North County now, so getting out down in, you know, South Park or wherever area where I used to live, where there was more events, it's a little bit more difficult. But I went to Green Flash one day. I can't remember. We did a lot of stuff, but nice. I can't really remember everything now because it was Beer Week.
Because it was Beer Week.
Yeah.
Well,
moving on.
Yeah, no more beer talk.
Yeah.
Well, more beer drink.
I'm ruining the hour with this.
Yeah, welcome to another issue of 3B Zine Podcast.
He's taking over the show. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Who invited me?
So, ever since we've started this show, we've talked about a little game that we love.
Oh, God.
And we've even had the creator of said game on our show.
I don't even want to talk about it.
And
I don't even want to talk about it.
Why? Because it's taken so much of your life
it's
already?
It's taken over our lives.
This game has been out... Well, the re-release of the game has been out for approximately... Actually, just under 3 weeks.
Yeah.
and we've already logged like 100 hours.
Yeah, we're like at 170.
When I showed up at Matt's house today, they were playing it.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even say what game it was.
And yeah, that game, I was getting to it. That game is The Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
Yeah.
And it is so damn fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many new items in that game. And for those of you unfamiliar, it's kind of religious in a sense where Isaac's mom...
Sacrilegious.
There you go.
Sacrilegious.
Isaac is a little boy and his mom hears the voice of God to say to kill Isaac. And Isaac makes his way through all these worlds where he cries on piles of shit, and that's the way he kills things.
That's about
like
accurate.
Crying on him. Yeah. But it's an insanely fun game, and you can pick up Binding of Isaac Rebirth on Steam for, I think it's like $15.
Yeah, it's $15.
Or you can get the original for a total of like 99 cents. And if you have nothing better to do with 1,000 hours of your time than play a really fun dungeon exploring game, then
yeah, it's good stuff. It's one of the better games I've played in my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
And or at least the most time wasty.
Yeah. You can just pick it up too out of nowhere.
The replay value is through the fucking roof.
Well, yeah, it's every time you get every time you get to somewhere, you're unlocking something else in some other area and some other boss, and it's like, okay,
Guess I'll keep playing.
We just gave a couple away on our Facebook, and a guy commented that he'd beaten the game, and I was like, there is no beating The Binding of Isaac.
There is no.
There is only one successful run before the next run. And this new one actually has a win streak counter, like how many times you beat it in a row. And I'm guessing when it goes negative, it also counts when you reset it.
No, resets don't count.
Oh, well, shit, because we had a negative 106.
We were playing on hard before unlocking everything.
Yeah, and then finally last night we were like, you know, we should just put it on normal and unlock everything and then go up to hard. But
we kind of go back and forth. Like, we'll do a couple runs on hard and then like, fuck that.
It's too fucking hard.
It is hard.
So was it always on Steam? Like, the original was released on Steam too? Okay. I need to get this game. I want to check it out. It looks awesome. Just watching it.
You were telling us last time that you're not really like a super like video game player.
Not really, no. I don't really. I'm afraid of the thought of like 100-something hours of doing that. I don't know. I get,
oh, dude.
It's the idea of that makes me nervous for some reason. I feel like I should be doing something else. But I literally just sit there and do nothing all day long.
Wait, way to make us feel like shit, Cody.
No, I'm saying.
Wait, you've spent 1,400 hours playing this game?
No, I'm saying
because
that.
Because you fucking losers.
But you guys are at least like taking over dungeons and accomplishing things. I'm sitting and watching reruns of Seinfeld over and over again. Like last night when I was going to bed, I watched Seinfeld in bed, and I almost went on Apple TV to watch more Seinfeld.
Just
what's the point?
More Seinfeld.
It does nothing for your life whatsoever.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. So there's another game that I wanted to mention real quick. It's a game called The Forest.
Oh, I goofed on this.
Yeah, you goofed on it, man.
I did goof
you gotta
on this.
You gotta get it so we can do it co-op. But it it's basically Minecraft for adults. To put it simply,
what Minecraft is for
adults.
Wait,
what is this game?
Well, Minecraft is more for kids.
It's a more adult Minecraft.
Which game are you talking about? Pulling a beer when I...
it's called The Forest.
Oh, got it.
It starts off, your plane crashes, and then you see this weird creature take your son away.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically have to survive in the forest. You start by chopping down trees to build a shelter, and then these weird fucking things come out, and it's totally random every time, and the environment is just really unnerving and mm-hmm. off-putting. I've already found a little glitch where I'm pretty much safe all the time.
Really?
So
that's how I would play it.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, I'm just going to stay right here and I'll never get hurt.
Well, because
that's why I don't play video games, like you asked.
You're a little bit nervous.
I'm going to do something stupid like that. Like on Grand Theft Auto, I'll just drive around all day. Like
just casual drive. Let's see what's on the radio.
Just obey the speed limit. Right, right. And
I stop at all the stoplights and stuff.
Honk at the old lady that's taking too long to cross the street rather than
play
running
that trucking game.
Oh,
no, you're Euro Truck Simulator?
Crazy taxi game? Just give people rides all day?
No, you're talking about the truck driving game where you drive from Arizona to Vegas.
That's a game.
It's in real time.
Oh my god.
And you can't, I guess it's more of a simulation than a game. It's not really a game.
Yeah, you can't just let it go either because you'll veer off the road and you'll kill everybody in the bus.
So is this like a... Is it a PC game or a console game?
Which one? The Forest?
No. That's
a PC
game. I'm intrigued by this.
Cody wants to play that truck.
Cody's like, I would love to just drive on my computer for 8 hours straight.
Do you just hold the up arrow and then every once in a while you hit the right and left?
Yeah, you have to like steer with it. But that's the thing. You can't just hit up because the road will change and you'll veer off the road and you'll kill everyone in the bus.
I wonder if you can stop a Cracker Barrel. That game. That'd be fun.
Go through like a Taco Bell drive-thru in Arizona.
I need a chalupa now.
Chalupa.
Got your chalupa, buddy.
Nacho cheese chalupa.
But The Forest, it's actually officially being released 10 days from now. So that's like December 1st, I believe. Mm. So check it out. It's $15. It's really fun. And you can play co-op. And the atmosphere alone is really kind of chilling. Just being by yourself and having to self-sustain while these weird alien creatures are coming after you.
I'm sure you guys want to move on from this, but real quick, what was the game that you played where that you said was like super terrifying, where you can't kill the murderer, but you have like a video camera?
Outlast.
So yeah. That game looked terrifying.
Did you watch me play that game?
I did. I watched you play. Oh. And you were jumping on the couch. Legitimately jumping.
Anxiety-inducing. Yeah.
Well, that's where we get our, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. There you are, buddy. I actually, when George was over one night, we were drinking. I was like, "Hey, well, now that you're here,
George was over one night, and we were drinking.
Yeah, now that you're here, let's play Outlast. Now that I have somebody to keep me company and be there when I get scurred.
His grounding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys hear about that 4chan murder?
I did not hear about this.
Who did? Oh, you didn't.
Well, we got
that's who didn't.
I'm the one.
I can tell my story now. Yeah, Thank you. Let's hear it. Well, so you know 4chan, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago. And we haven't talked about this on the show since because we haven't had a recording since it happened.
Yeah, we haven't recorded in like 3 weeks.
But what happened was is this guy basically posts a photo of, you know, what looks like a chick that's asleep, but like something's off, like something's weird, and he goes, "Hey B, just killed a girl, you know."
Something like she struggled so much or something like that.
Right, and nobody believed him, so he posted like 5 or 6 more
because
pictures.
Because people lie on 4chan 99% of the time.
Yeah, and that's their whole bit. And so like he posted like 5 more pictures of what looked like a chick that got like her throat slit and strangled and whatnot.
Wow.
And
he
was basically, you know, he was like, watch the news in a half hour in this specific neighborhood and, you know, this town, and sure enough, 30 minutes later, like news reports, and it's like the creepiest thing I've ever seen on the internet.
Wow.
And the guy had said something too, like in one of his posts about how he'd gotten like an air rifle or something that looked like the real deal, and he was basically going to commit suicide by cop. And I never caught if it actually went that far.
I think they ended up catching him.
Oh,
he wasn't able to commit suicide by cop.
Was it like a teenager?
I think it was a teenager. Yeah,
well, that's a bad way to. I mean, you can't announce that kind of plan publicly, and the cops be like, okay, well, plan A, don't shoot him.
Yeah,
so he just told us what he's doing.
Take his leg out.
Yeah. It's an air rifle. All right.
Yeah. Well, didn't someone do that on Facebook too? They posted a picture and said, like, "I just killed my wife," and everyone thought he was kidding, but he was actually
being
real.
Do
on Facebook
that all the time.
Facebook pulled
Instagram.
The picture because it was a legitimate picture of his wife dead in a kitchen.
Holy
like,
shit!
Stabbed her to death.
I wouldn't doubt it. People are fucking stupid.
It's
ridiculous. There was another one too, not that long ago, but a guy who his girlfriend died and he stole her body from the morgue and was driving
and
around
with
it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like
that's
posted Facebook like selfies, like
it was like them in bed together and he's like just like laying with my bae or some shit It's like
hashtag cuddle.
Yeah.
Bae caught me corpsing.
Hashtag only in Japan.
Aww.
That was a Japanese thing?
I think that was here actually. but
sounds
still,
like a Florida thing.
Actually, there was some crazy shit that just happened in Florida, and I can't remember it.
Every other week.
Some guy bought a foreclosed home that had a corpse in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually did hear about that one.
I didn't read the article, but I just saw the headline, and of course I replied, only in Florida. Another day in Florida.
That's how I saw it, because I think you commented, and then it showed up on my feed thingy.
Dude, it's almost December, and it's like fucking summer.
I think you're the only one that's done.
Yeah,
I'm sweating like a whore in church, man. Like,
because you showered right before I came over.
Yeah, I did.
You are sweating a lot.
You're showering.
Yeah, man. I'm not even. I had to take my hat off. Like all kinds of shit.
No, it's just that monster's park or whatever is starting to
Starting to work its way through.
It's
your
just I'm so fucking heated knowing how George feels about this movie.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Did you have any other news tidbits you wanted to hit before we?
Not really. Our second Frights and Pints was really awesome.
Yeah, it was a good success.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I was at an engagement party. I told Matt beforehand that I was going to be at an engagement party and then I would try, but I'm married, as you both are, and sometimes those types of things take precedent, unfortunately.
Sometimes.
There you go.
Always.
Every time. Yeah. So there you go. That's why I couldn't be there.
It's just a shitty movie night, but they're fun.
I wanted to be there really bad. Yeah, it just couldn't work out.
It was good times, and we had a lot of people come out and a lot of fun. And we've
got the next one scheduled, correct?
Yeah, next one is Friday, December 12th. Are we set on the movie?
Yeah, Gremlins.
Okay, we're showing Gremlins. Our first thought was Jack Frost, because what says Christmas like snowman rape? But
did I say that?
No, I said that.
Oh, okay.
But we figured in
Remember, you don't represent the Who Goes There podcast by yourself.
No, but in the interest of mass appeal, we figured Gremlins is at least takes place at Christmas, and everybody loves Gremlins. And
a lot of people probably haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But
likewise.
Friday, December 12th. You can find all the info at facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast or whogoestherepodcast.com. And come on out. We'll have some special limited edition Who Goes There podcast buttons. And we have these super sweet beer koozies that we're using today. Or at least I'm using.
Yeah, always. Using.
And
sorry.
Yeah.
I grabbed the wrong one.
But that nice. Ghetto Blaster's still awesome. But we'd really like to invite you all to come out and celebrate the most unnecessary holiday with the most unnecessary podcast.
We're irreverently unnecessary.
Yeah.
Love it. Should we get to it?
I think that groan means it's time to talk about the Babadook.
The Babadick, as I say it in the movie.
The Babadilsnick. We'd heard about this movie well over a year ago, and all we ever heard was how terrifying it was and how frightening it was and how it's going to be one of the greatest movies. And we've tried for a long time to get our grubby little fingers on it, and we could not. And the movie will actually be released the day after Thanksgiving, but we were fortunate enough to get an advance copy of it.
Is this a wide release in America then?
It is, yeah. I think it's already been released in the UK. So the US release. Well, see, I don't know if it's going to be a limited release or if it's going to be.
I think it's going to be a limited release in the US, but it was wide release in Australia.
Right.
Because they've had it for months and months.
Forever. It debuted at, I don't know, one of those fucking film festivals back in March, and everybody raved about it and won a ton of awards, and they've basically been dangling the carrot in front of our face since March. And now we have it. And half the show loves it, and the other half, not so much.
Where are we divided? Who doesn't love it? Okay, let's go around table. What did you think about it, Matt? Just real quick.
Loved it.
Okay, Alia?
I really liked it a lot.
I actually really liked it too.
Oh my god. So we're split 75-25.
This is exactly why we didn't get Ginger Jesus on the show, cuz that would have made it 50-50. We had to team up on you to tell you how wrong you are.
Do I have to defend myself?
Yeah, you have to play devil's advocate today.
When I showed up at Matt's to watch this movie, I walked in straight up asking which one of you likes and which one of you doesn't. So I'm like, I know there's going to be a split. So which one of you does and doesn't?
So the three of you actually really dug it.
I liked it better
the second watch around.
Yeah, we watched it again today, and I still
that shit
like
gave
it.
Me chills.
It didn't give me chills.
Chills? Yeah. You're saying chills.
I felt my hair stand on end like three times at least throughout that movie.
Through the whole movie. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat for 90% of the movie. Not even today. I was sitting on the couch with Cody and Ollie.
Start with the description. How did it start?
Because look, I liked it, but I wasn't on the edge of my seat, so I'll scoot my chair a little closer. So I wasn't that scared by it, but
it's about to be a podcast table divided.
It had a couple of laughs in it too.
It's like 70-30.
Yeah,
we'll do a Civil War podcast.
Oh, dude, I laughed brothers my ass brothers. Off at points too. So
I did too, curiously enough.
Yeah, but yours was probably for opposite reasons.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Babadook is
Babadook.
Babadook is essentially boils down to being a possession movie. It's about a
yeah, kind of. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's about okay. If you
I'm gonna let you. I'm,
if
I'm
you
gonna,
don't think so, we'll get to that.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Let me describe this shit.
Finish, but
so it's
but Babadook was the worst movie I've seen.
It's written and directed by Jennifer Kent, and it's her first feature length film. It's about a mother and son who find this book in the kid's room called Mr. Babadook. And it's basically about like a ghost kind of that comes into your house and you can't get rid of him and he wants to scare you.
It's like a boogeyman.
Yeah, right? Basically like a boogeyman. And then hilarity ensues.
It turns out to be true. The book is real and the creature left it out to freak them out.
Yeah. It's basically kind of like
you inferred that much from what that movie gave to you?
It's Evil Dead-ish in a sense where you need to read the passages, I feel, in order to kind of open the gates to let it in. And then it terrorizes the mother and child throughout the film, and that's basically all you need to know.
Its goal is like murder-suicide.
Yeah.
Through mom.
Like, looking at your face, I'm guessing you just kind of glazed over this entire movie.
Dude, this is a lot. Here's what I'm going to tell you guys. This seems like a whole lot of analyzation that you guys did to this movie that you normally don't give to film.
What analyzation? It was clear as day. What are you missing?
Dude, I'm sorry. First off.
Here we go.
Well, no, I don't want to rip it apart. Well, yeah, I do, but
go for it.
There was no point in this whole movie did it have my attention even a little bit, dude.
Why? How?
It from the get go, I was just bored.
Did you watch it alone?
No, he watched it with Joe, like with this guy we know, and Joe was even talking about how he didn't like it last night. And I compared it to the Paranormal Activity films.
But he said the ending killed it for him.
Yeah, that was the final nail.
The last 10 minutes, I just...
Well, that's what I thought, too. I told Matt after... Do you guys care if we say how it ends or anything on this episode?
This whole podcast is spoiler, so fuck you if you didn't watch the movie.
So they'll deal with it.
Yeah.
But the way that they kind of solved the problem, I turned to Matt, I'm like, that's how they solved that problem?
Yeah,
it was an hour and a half building up of like they're never going to be able to get out of this.
Basically, they stole the ending of Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
In a sense, I guess.
Almost,
but at least, well, Shaun of the Dead's ending made more sense, I think.
Anything makes more sense. go ahead.
No, finish.
No, I'm going to start getting into it. So you had a thought. You had a thought that was relevant.
Okay, well, when we watched it the second time around, if you pay attention to what the book says, the Babadook book, Mr. Babadook is called, right?
Babadook book.
Duck, duck.
Duck. Duck, duck, duke.
Babadook.
If you pay attention to what it says, you know, like, the more you deny, the stronger I get. And you see that, like, in action in the movie before she goes full, like, possessed or full, like, crazy.
Yeah, we can
She says, you're not real, you're not real, you're not real. Like, the full-on just flat-out denying it.
Yeah, we could take it back a little bit. So, it starts off with a really ham-fisted attempt at symbolism where the mom... You see her sitting, and it looks like she's pregnant, and she's driving in a car.
Yeah, she's breathing, doing the breathing.
And it looks like she gets into an accident.
I'm sorry, was that supposed to be symbolism? Because I felt like that was as cut and dry as you could get.
No, because they did it, like, stylistically. So you're like, oh.
Yeah, because she falls backwards and then lands on the bed.
Yeah, and I go, oh, you guys are, you're being clever. Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, you're making me feel like it's a car accident. Okay.
It was a car accident.
But not literally.
Yeah, no, it literally was.
But remember, Matt, I asked halfway through the movie, because I read about it online, so I knew about the whole car accident thing already. And I was like, do they touch upon that at all? Because otherwise,
just in that
I don't
opening
know
scene.
If I would even know what the hell's going on.
In the grocery store, the kid says, my dad is in the cemetery.
Right. I understand that
But they
that
don't
part.
Show the dad in the car accident.
But what you're supposed to figure it out from that opening 30 seconds.
Because the kid says my dad's in the cemetery because he died in a car accident.
And I agree with you guys. I'm not saying that they don't hammer it into your head multiple times in the movie, but the little opening shot was sort of an attempt at being clever as far as showing a car accident without actually showing you a car accident.
Oh, it's a budget constraint then.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, so it's basically how the kid and the mom deal with each other on a day to day basis. The kid is kind of a shithead, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he tests his mom at any given opportunity.
And she's very loving in the beginning.
He's a jackhole at school. He gets into trouble because he thinks monsters are after him.
All of that is after shit starts happening.
Yeah, yeah, and understandably, it's basically when you boil the movie down, and you guys said it was a possession film. I think it's more so like supposed to be an analyzation of a mom and son relationship.
See, I think your problem is you think too much.
That it touches on that. I think that's a very much so a theme throughout the movie. You know, the relationship between them is the whole time it's centered, right? But at the same time, the first time watching it, I was like, I couldn't decide, and sort of towards the end, whether or not this Babadook is real or if it's like she's just going fucking crazy.
Well, and I agree with you on that point where it is they are towing the line between like what we're seeing and what we're supposed to believe is true. And we have both the mom and the kid who are in literary terms what's considered an unreliable narrator, where basically what you're seeing from their eyes may not be true. So I just
but the book was definitely real because
was it?
When I was sure that it was like a real thing that they were going up against is when the book, after she tore it up, showed up after the knocks at her door and it was like laying at her doorstep. Because when she went into the police station right after that, after calling her sister, she had like char on her hands from setting the book on fire.
Yeah, when she barbecued it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... After that, I felt like, okay, so, there's definitely something.
What you're saying is that the book grounds the movie.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. So then what we're supposed to think is that the Babadook is real?
Yes.
Yes.
It is real.
Yeah, because the whole, like, sliding the little bowl of worms into the darkness at the very, like, right before the credits roll. Because
there's no way she's just batshit crazy at the very end.
Right. Because there's like the little bowl of the worms and she like slides it away and then just everything's all good to go.
So then my question is why go through all the effort of making it feel like the Babadook isn't real
and then just give
us a bowl of worms.
That gives you the uncertainty. You start questioning.
But there is no uncertainty.
I felt like
throughout the movie. Yeah. You don't watch the end of the movie first.
Unless you're Memento.
Yeah, that's true.
You do. No, you get like 2/3 of the way.
There's a couple of movies. What was the other one?
But so
Irreversible.
Irreversible.
But throughout most of the movie, you think that like all the characters make it seem as though the kid's the one that's going crazy.
Well,
but then they kind of switch it around on you.
Yeah, I was gonna say the kid kind of like gets his marbles back about half hour into the movie, because at first the kid thinks there's monsters under his bed
and everybody thinks he's insane.
Yeah, then they find
the teachers,
this
family.
Well, he is
he's acting insane.
He is a shithead. Like
he's not acting appropriately, he's not a normal
acting child, like, right. He pushes a little girl out of a fucking treehouse.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like,
she was
saying nobody wants you, blah blah blah. Your mom doesn't even want you, like
your dad died because he didn't want to be around you anymore.
Fucked up.
I mean, it's true, that kid was a shithead.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the way he just would sit in the back of the car and kick the seat and scream is like, I wish the Babadook would.
You know, it's funny too. Joe and I, we both have kids, and when he started kicking the back of the seat, like, I could feel myself internally getting pissed off. Yep. And I'm like, "Oh, you fucking little shithead!"
I don't even have kids, but I was like, I seriously would have just crashed that fucking car. Is your seatbelt off? Oh, guess what?
Jesus, take the wheel.
So. Yeah, at first the kid, they read the book, the Mr. Babadook,
the Babadook
that just
book
appeared out of nowhere, And so the kid is terrified. He keeps talking about, like, oh, the Babadook is coming. The Babadook
wants
to kill
all of us. I don't
want
you to
die. Yeah, see, you're telling me so that shit wasn't creepy? The kid telling his mom, like, I don't
want
you to die?
No, and the problem is that kid is such an overactor that I couldn't take any of his shit seriously.
Really?
You gotta watch it again. It wasn't that bad.
I thought for, like, a six-year-old, he did a really good job.
I thought he did a really good job for being a kid that legitimately believed he was in danger.
Yeah.
I thought he did a pretty good job of showing that danger.
Yeah, he looked like a little Riri Alfie Allen, though. But
we're laughing because it's true.
It's so true.
Wait. Let's backtrack a little bit here. So the entrance of the book,
right,
is what bugs me.
Mm-hmm. Among other things.
That was
out
a
of
little.
Nowhere.
So the book states that in order for the Babadook to come into the household, you have to invite him after he knocks, right? Or you open the door.
You don't have to invite him, but the way you know he's there is you'll hear the three loud rappings.
So how did he get there before?
Probably
I think
the mom.
He
was just, I think he was just there.
Well,
it's just there.
The whole thing was don't let him in, don't let him in. But I think it's the mom's disbelief in her child is what let him in.
Exactly. Yes. And the kid...
because he doesn't exist, don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Not worrying about it is, you know, a roundabout way of saying, come on in, it's fine, to maybe Mr. Babadook.
Well, and then the kid, too. Like, the kid was terrified by Mr. Babadook. And then you had that scene where the dresser falls over, and I feel like that's when the kid let him in.
How rad would it have been if the dresser was on the kid?
I really thought it was going
to
be.
I thought he was
even
in
if
there.
The doors would have been open and he was trapped underneath it and they just had to lift it up to get him out. I was kind of hoping that's where
I was like, oh, sweet. We're going to see a shithead sandwich right here. Like, the kid
sandwich.
Kid totally got smashed on the floor. He's dead and he was just hiding under the bed. But
I will say that the, for lack of a better word, the creature design, I did like that.
Oh, sweet.
I did like the Mr. Babadook. And they're actually pre-sale.
Yeah, we looked into that.
It's $80.
Yeah, fuck
really,
that.
It's $80
book.
For the book, yeah.
But from what
I will
hear,
take the 1,000 hours and try and do that shit myself before
totally.
Paying $80 for that.
Let's go buy a binder and make it.
See, the book is a super sweet-looking stylized pop-up book. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, the one they're actually going to be selling is... basically a more legit version of the one in the movie, because the one in the movie looks like somebody made it. Well, it looks like
a three-ring
binder, like Cody said.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a binder with felt on it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a cloth-covered hardcover book, and like from what I heard, the writer and director actually added a few more pages to fill out the story of the Babadook a little more.
Oh.
But yeah, it's $80. You can buy it at thebabadook.com.
That makes me want it again.
Yeah. I really think it's awesome. I don't think it's $80 awesome.
If I had more faith in the money, in the movie, like if I enjoyed the movie more, I'd drop that in a second.
Yeah.
But...
well, that book was rad, though.
The book was real good.
That was one of the
coolest
Babadooks.
But would it be both versions of the book, you think, that you're buying? Because the first one is just the book, the story. Then the second one is the magazine cutout looking one with the additional pop-ups.
Right. I would figure you get the first one because the additional pop-ups looked unreal.
Mm-hmm.
There was moving parts that I don't think were possible.
It was just the blood.
I assume they would still probably have those pages, maybe. Just not to the degree they were in the movie.
Well, but for $80, maybe I want that degree. Maybe that's my selling point.
With the little twisting and turning of the creatures.
The blood was the only one that I was like, how do they get
the
two slides?
The throat slit.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it was just two little slides.
Unless there's a little thing, a slide up top, you just push it down. We're getting way too
ahead.
We're
a side slide and a top slide.
Pop-up books can be complicated, man.
Well, you know, you say we're getting off topic, but I think the actual pop-up book is more interesting than the whole movie
and
it has so much to do with the actual movie. It really, like, from especially the second time watching it around, it explained a whole lot of things. Like, if you pay attention, and this is what I was trying to say before, and I totally got off my own train of thought, but in the very first, like, two pages of the book, you know, it says, for those who know how to see, or some shit like that, the Babadook, like, can be a very special friend indeed.
Yeah.
And that explains the ending of the movie for me.
Oh.
You know, like it says, it's like whoever can actually
because
understand and see that it's real. Yes. Yeah.
See, that went over my head.
So then, I didn't get that till right now.
So then what's the point of the Babadook, though? Is he just looking... Because presumably,
he's
what's
frustrated.
The
point? What's probably
the point
sexually.
Of
I
the
don't know.
Is he looking for a meal? Is he looking for somebody to possess? Like, what's
he's
the end game
for a meal.
I think he wanted a soul.
It's like misery loves company.
Because there's the scenes later.
It's so Ronery.
Where
the Babadook is Ronery.
Where he keeps telling the mom, "You can bring me the boy. You can bring me the boy." You know, like, I think that's what
he
wanted.
He appears as the dad.
I think he wanted the soul, like, at least some kind of soul. Because the kid was telling his mom, like, he wants to scare you first, and then he wants to eat your insides. He wants to kill you and stuff like that. But when the mom had the interactions with the Babadook, it was really just, I want the boy. I don't know why he wanted the boy, but he wanted
because he's so lonely.
See, and then that's the other thing.
The Babadook is like a single creature, probably a fucking like alien
thing that got left on
Earth.
He's on like Ghost Tinder looking for fucking souls.
Yeah,
he's like some sort ghost of Grindr. Weird alien no. creature ghost that got left on Earth.
Ghost, the Babadook, you've heard
the only
it here
one
first.
Of his
the Babadook
kind.
Is gay.
The only one of his kind, and he's like trying to get like. Like I said, misery loves company, so he'd rather, instead of rather than seeing, like, a mother and child make their lives together and, like, love each other, he's like, fuck that, you know? Yeah. Like, they're happy? Uh-uh.
So was the Babadook, like, a manifestation of the father's spirit?
And see, that's the thing also that I was questioning was it the father? Is it like his father kind of coming through or whatnot?
It's like
because
he has some kind of rage
definitely,
from dying.
They definitely tried to head us that way. They were like, oh, this is the father. He's pissed off because he died, blah, 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 blah. And like, you're like, okay, now we're going to go down this path. And then no, it's a bloodthirsty monster that has a wingspan. And it's like,
I think it's like supernatural.
Why is it a cockroach?
Like a supernatural
all of a
creature,
yeah,
probably
yeah.
I don't think
from
it,
outer space.
I don't think it actually was a cockroach. I think
that's
that
what
was
I was expecting the whole time when those like weird.
You thought he was
going to
be a cockroach?
Yeah, the whole time I was like, no, not that he was one, but I thought that that's what the form he was going to take at that scene. Well, when it was coming out of the dark and you just saw those two things hanging out or whatever.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, okay, a giant cockroach is going to come out of the darkness. Obviously, let's do it. Let's get on with it already.
Well, see,
but
paranormal movies tend to always have like
you know what's
like insects of some kind
yeah.
in them or like
totally.
Worms.
I
or,
think
because
the
insects freak people the fuck out.
The strangest thing to me is that you did like this movie and I will express my point why.
That I like this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
This film has a very distinct feel to it, and I will tell you what movie it is mirroring.
Okay.
It has a very similar feel to Pan's Labyrinth. Almost like, as I'm watching...
Atmosphere.
As
it's
I'm watching
to
Babadook...
It's so atmospheric.
I'm like, this is like the shitty sequel to Pan's Labyrinth. Because it's got it's got a little kid who nobody believes what's going on, and the kid's got his own little fantasy world, and he's running into his he's running to his experiments, his little inventions to escape, and then like slowly but surely the world kind of opens up, which I don't know, man. I'm
the only thing that's different is that in the Babadook it sort of goes to the mother, like it expands, and that's like a psychological like element that I thought was a little like subtle, you know, like that people are afraid to like we fear what our neighbors think, we fear like that something real could be happening to you, you know, like this actual possession or something, for
and nobody
example
believes you.
And everybody thinks you're fucking crazy because of it, like you nobody wants to be thought of as a crazy person, you know.
It's true.
And just
that's true.
That's literally true.
Well, yeah, and then just like the fact that you could actually be going through something, and people will think you're insane because of it, but it's real. Like that's a little bit of like for me, it was like freaky.
I just don't, you know. And you were saying earlier, like there has been nothing but rave reviews about this movie.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's not released here
across
but.
The board, like on Reddit, on R Horror, like people. Love it. Like, there's people that are saying, like, it's the best horror movie they've seen in a decade.
I honestly think it's one of the best possession movies I've ever seen.
But...
Because they didn't...
I just don't get it.
Okay, see, real quick on the
and
Pan's Labyrinth thing.
To be done.
Babadook billed itself as being a ghost story movie, and it was a ghost story movie.
It
didn't bill itself as a ghost story movie, and then turned out to be a fucking war story.
Not when you look at the trailers. The trailers look like a monster movie.
Oh, well, it still technically is a monster. It's a ghost monster.
Monsters?
You're making concessions because you want to
fit it. I am not making popcorn and hot dogs here.
You're making nachos.
Yeah.
Look, the trailers made it seem like it was a monster movie. With a ever-present...
Okay, so there's nothing that clearly says he's a ghost, so he could very easily be a monster. My point is, it didn't bill itself as a monster movie
Aliens. He could also be an alien. Yeah.
That it was a monster. That's what I took from it. That it was more
okay,
of a
so it billed itself as a monster movie, and it turned out to be a monster movie.
Like a 16th monster movie.
What do you mean a 16th?
Monster movie.
Like 1/16th of monster?
1/16th of the whole movie, we got to see like the Babadook doing his
thing. Okay, see, that's exactly my point. And I mentioned earlier how I was talking to Joe about Paranormal Activity because he's like, nothing fucking happened. And I said, okay, well, how did you feel about the Paranormal Activity movies? He said, I really liked them. I'm like, he said he really liked the first one. I said, how is it any fucking different? I said, Paranormal Activity, the only suspense... Actually, there's really no suspense because the entire movie, they fast forward through all the nonsense, and when they stop fast forwarding, they're like, okay, get ready,
because
something's going
to
happen.
You're about to get scared.
Oh my God, the refrigerator just made the door move.
Yeah. It's like the whole time you're sitting there and you're like, fuck, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And your brain starts to fill in the gaps, and then it just has that weird, like, cockroach noise or the weird little
caught me every time.
Oh, and the fake dinosaur noise too.
Oh my god, yeah. When I heard that, I was like, that fucking sound clip.
Yeah. We're like, there's a velociraptor.
This one again.
Jurassic Park.
But the noises in that movie and just...
It's unnerving.
How they show you just little bits at a time and the way Babadook moved like Nosferatu, like I fucking loved all of that. All of it.
I liked that there were little things where like they look out a window at something and then they look away and look back out and it's like, did I just miss something? What was there before that I didn't just see? Now I want to go back and see again. Was there like a little face in the corner I missed? Was there a little hat hanging somewhere?
And I agree with you on that, but to what benefit were those touches? Like that part
for the creep out.
Yeah.
I don't know,
it creeped me out.
There was no point where I was genuinely creeped out. There was nothing in that movie that was creepy to me.
See, I wasn't creeped
out. Tooth pulling.
I wasn't creeped out either. See, that didn't get me.
Nothing.
Pulling out teeth and pulling out nails give me the heaviest of jeebies.
And this is like kind of a jack-off thing to say, but because I work in the dental industry, like, That does nothing for me.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's too bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I thought, when she started kind of like holding her jaw, I thought it was going to lead to something different. Like, maybe a little piece of the Babadook is growing inside of her or something. Not that her tooth was coming out.
I assume that's because the Babadook went into her mouth, right?
No, it went in her.
It went in her mouth first.
She got Baba raped.
It went in her mouth first, and it was like that whole thing that the book explained. The book explains everything in this movie.
The
more you deny, the stronger I get, is what it says. And when, like I said, when it full on got into her,
that's when it went through her butt.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it did go through her mouth first. She was in bed.
Her lower back.
When it was creeping around on the seat. Tell me that part wasn't creepy as shit. Like, just where she hears these noises.
I must have just been under your blankets
as a kid. Like, you never,
I must have been in the wrong state of mind for the movie. Because, dude, I was, like, we were making fucking Babadook jokes the whole time. Like,
well, that's the problem. When somebody, you and Joe were sitting there just elbow nudging each other, like, look how stupid this shit is.
No, like, everything was a Duke jokes. Like, we were like, I'm going to go get a beer a Duke.
Oh no!
The whole time,
as soon as she pulled out the vibrator, Cody's like, "Oh, she wants to get on the Babadook."
Yeah,
and I didn't. I was coming up with sequel names the whole movie too.
Babadook 2, the
Dropping Dukes, or Dropping Duke,
Dropping Dukes.
I think we were like, "Oh, look, she's got her vibrator Duke."
Yeah. But see, dude, and that vibrator looked like a fucking remote control. It was like a big ball on one.
I told him that's just Australia. It probably vibrates backwards, too.
That's Australia for you. Or upside down, at least.
Yeah. It costs her $1,200
a dues.
Dukery dues.
Oh, 1,200 dukers.
But, the atmosphere of that movie, the cinematography, just like all of it was...
That I will say, the cinematography and the tone of the...
The whole movie was about atmosphere.
Really nice. Like, it was really well filmed, and the color schemes were really done, really well
the
done.
Lighting, yeah.
Like, the whole house was gray, had a gray interior.
Right.
That was really nice. I did dig that. But...
See, this was one of the of all the movies Ollie and I watch, we usually just watch them, you know, lights on, whatever. This was one of the few movies where we actually turned off all the lights and, you know, closed all the doors so there's no outside noise, and we just watched it in
the darkness.
In the darkadook. And I don't know, man. Maybe it was just like the weird, creepy... Okay, like you watch The Ring, and The Ring's not that creepy. But if you watch it with surround sound on and you have one of the rear speakers near you and you can hear all the little scratching and the whispers and the noises, it's really fucking unnerving. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what...
And then you get raptor noise.
Yeah.
That was the raptor noise. Yeah, but I mean...
That whole last 15 minutes.
There was a few laughs throughout the movie anyways.
All of them involved children getting hurt.
Yeah. Or the mom.
That little girl getting dropped on her face was hilarious. Oh, I was dying. I'm like, oh, she got a bloody nose. Nice.
Okay,
You also saw that coming, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
Watching that movie. It's like she's standing in a treehouse with her back against the door.
And she was egging it at him. She was being a total bitch.
But then I think we can all say
let's not get a fucking Gamergate going thing here. She was asking for it, really?
She was asking for it, dude.
You can only be pushed so far in a treehouse.
Until you're pushed out of the treehouse.
The Who Goes There podcast is not indoors.
Pushing little girls out of treehouses.
Unless it's on film.
Unless they're asking for it.
Yeah.
In a treehouse in Australia.
So speaking of the mom getting injured, like, what was with little Kevin McAllister in all of his little inventions?
Yeah, that's what I told. Like 10 minutes in the movie, I'm like, so is this basically Home Alone meets Amityville? Is that what we're watching right now?
It's Home Alone-y Duke.
Yeah. But I was thinking about
all
it
all night,
after.
Dude. All night. That was our whole night.
Imagine if Kevin McAllister was in that movie, like in the
Babadook
sequel.
Babadook would be dead.
Babadook takes over the McAllister house in Chicago. That movie would be five minutes.
The dad would have to die first.
Yeah, he would never make it out of
there. That's so sad.
He would die in the plane accident, and then...
That's so tragic.
The plane would go down until he would be dead.
And he's just like, ha-ha.
He's like, oh, are we really Baba doing this again?
Not a Baba again.
Oh, my God. But he had these little, like, MacGruber-style inventions that are... He had like a little dart crossbow.
That was pretty
like,
cool. The dart crossbow was contemplating how to make that.
It
looked way too
fun.
I want to make that.
Yeah, it was cool yet highly ineffective.
And his little
that fucking bocce ball catapult was brilliant.
Catapult was the shit.
Like that kid had so much forethought. He even put padding on like the thing on the catapult when it's on his back,
just in case it hits too hard and
it's too much. He's like, oh shit!
Like, whoa, that thing's got some kick to it. I better add some cushion.
Yeah,
he was waking up early to start on that because he knew his mom would hate
like
that shit.
The building of the catapult.
No doubt.
The thought process in the catapult. Because I want to see, how did you come across that specific padding over egg crate? I want to know that. That's what I want to know.
Me too, so I can make one.
Probably
that
more
looks
interesting
like
than the actual film.
I was waiting for I was hoping you'd say that.
I feel like the special features would be really awesome on this DVD.
Yeah, the special features would be 3 hours long, and it'd be like, oh, we fucked up.
Sorry, everyone.
We overhyped, underdelivered. So
really, see, that's.
I felt like the whole movie was about the atmosphere, like the creepy atmosphere, and they did that really well.
Yeah, the atmosphere was incredible.
What kept me wanting to watch to see where it was going to go next, and that's a huge thing in the movie.
Big
I don't know anything
marks.
Even about. You know, I wanted to see where it was going to go from there. It kept my attention. You know, which is good.
So let's discuss the ending, because I think we all agree on this.
Right.
So, I guess the mom somehow
comes, she fucking primal screamed at the Babadook.
Yeah,
she screamed it out of there.
She screamed at Duke.
You can't get rid of the Babadook.
You think that's it?
That's what the book fucking said.
See, so the mom actually got possessed by the Babadook.
Yes. Right.
So it is technically a possession movie.
And yeah. Then,
literally, technically.
Yeah. So yes.
That's what he meant by technically.
But see, then when the confrontation comes between the mom and the kid Kevin McAllister is the mom, and gets her tied up, and there's like a confrontation where they might as well have played the fucking Beatles, because the theme of the ending
or Benny
is
Hill.
All You Need Is Love.
This whole film.
The kid's getting choked to death, and he kind of just like he strokes his mom's ceiling, face.
Yeah. Yeah. Papa Duke just doing circles
around the chandelier.
That would have been a better film.
But that's what it felt like at the end. The ending felt really just like hokey. Just
yeah, and then what we end up seeing is that, and there was almost like two endings. There was like the Primal Scream ending,
which is stupid,
which was dumb.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that that's how they wrapped that up.
And then it's a birthday party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where no
because
one shows up
because he's never celebrated his birthday before
by himself. Mm-hmm. And she goes down to the
Shakey's Pizza.
She goes down to the base duck.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about the pizza.
See the Babadook, and he's like a pet?
Yeah.
I guess.
Because you can't get rid of it.
But do you think
it's the loss of the father.
Okay, so wait, let me ask you this. So,
let me ask you a question.
At an earlier point in the movie, the mom is... See, and kind of going back to what George was saying about what's real and what's not. So the mom basically says she hasn't slept in weeks. So you're wondering
from
how
the
much
very beginning.
Well, yeah. So you're wondering how much of this is actually like insomniac delusions.
Well, like, some of it was, you know, like when she saw the kid all like bloody and she's like, "Mom," and she's got the knife.
But the part I'm referring to is she's flipping through the channels and she comes across a news story where it's almost exactly what she's going through. You know, a mom stabbed her kid.
At that point,
so you think like that news story wasn't actually real?
No, yeah, no.
Because I was going to say,
because her face is in the window of the house,
yeah. Right?
But that's not there.
That face was cool.
See, a lot of the faces were creepy.
She was really good.
When she was watching
a
horror movie, there was like some weird, like zombie-looking face on the screen. That was creepy.
Annabelle looking ass.
See, I don't know that.
Which show Annabelle ass?
You know, I guess it would have been her imagining that, because it was like the kid died before his 7th birthday, was stabbed in the night. But then they had that chubby black lady like crying hysterically, like, "Lord, I nursed him with these."
Yeah. I was wondering, that was a weird touch.
Yeah, so I assumed it was like
that was to throw you off, I think, to not make it so obvious that it was a delusion.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what, they got rid of the Babadook because they're dead or what?
No, you don't get rid of the Babadook.
So you just keep him.
So
as
what
a
does the Babadook
pet?
Do? Like,
but do you think that like
it drives you fucking crazy?
But what if you guys
until
said
you
that the Babadook could be the dad, right? What if the
or
Babadook
until, yeah,
was?
They probably didn't even need to be feeding it. They're just like, they're so sad that they lost their dog.
Just let his ass starve.
What if the Babadook was the dad and he came to their house specifically because they replaced him with that dog? Because the dog gets killed and then all of a sudden the story's like, oh, that's it. Let's just be happy now.
Shit kind of did change after the dog died.
The dog dies, and all of a sudden shit's chill.
No, she killed the dog and then tried to kill the kid.
But 5 minutes after the dog dies, everything kind of wraps up with the scream.
That same night.
So maybe the dad was just like, "I don't like dogs. I'm gonna go come back. I'm gonna make
How
sure that
dare
dog
you replace
dies.
Me?
You replace me with a white fluffy dog. I will stop that today.
I will weirdly haunt
that
your,
dog was a
I
good
will,
actor too.
I'm gonna strangely haunt our son until he kind of goes crazy, and then I'm gonna infect you, and your tooth is gonna fall out, and then you're gonna go nuts and try to kill our kid.
I'm gonna go in
then
your
then
mama
you're gonna
butt.
Get stabbed. Then you're gonna get stabbed. In the leg, and then I'm gonna be your pet for eternity.
Yeah, like the kid did so much damage to his mom, and he's like, "Sorry, mommy."
That's what it's like to be possessed. You either die or you fucking keep it as a pet. Tough shit.
Get possessed or die trying.
Reagan surely kept the Exorcist.
I was going right there with you.
They coulda.
It's coming out Halloween 2015.
Oh man, so you just didn't like it at all. Nothing at all.
Nope. Nothing.
No redeeming value at all?
There was a couple of, I mean, like I said, the cinematography was good. The warmth or lack thereof of the house, like the tone of the colors.
It was the cold feeling of the paint and everything.
It kind of looked like a museum, which is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But no, I think more than anything, the story, plot, characterizations were all a big fail to me.
you just weren't Baba down.
I was not Baba pressed.
He was led Baba down.
I could see how that could be a really fun game to keep playing. Yeah,
that's fun.
Just call it Baba what?
We kept finding ways to just say Baba Dick over and over, like Baba Dills, yeah, Baba Deuce.
Baba Dills Nick.
Yeah.
Baba Dills.
The Baba Dong. I hate most things, and I really liked the Babadook. I watched it for a second time today with Alia, and I still liked it today, and it's probably a movie that we'll end up owning on DVD.
I'd say it's still worth a watch. I mean, even with me saying I didn't like it, it's probably still worth a watch, and you may form a different opinion. I think this movie is going to be very polarizing. There's going to be people that really, really like it.
I don't think there's going to be a middle of the road at all.
Yeah, there's I kind of like some of the things, and yeah, it was decent, but you know, that Babadook was kind of a shithead. You know, like, no, I think there's no middle of the road. I think you're either going to like it or you don't.
Right.
Like, at least according to me. And what do I know?
And I may not be able, I may be a little too drunk to explain why I liked it.
That was quick.
Or what was like, or what was made me creeped out about it?
She's a Baba lightweight.
Yeah, but it totally gave me the chills,
the willies.
Yeah, it made my hair stand on end and gave me like a
the billies.
Oh man,
I liked it. I thought it was good. It kept me wanting to watch to see where it was gonna go. I didn't necessarily get like creeped out necessarily, but you know, I thought it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Most movies don't really legitimately scare me, though, so that I wasn't expecting.
I think that's it too. I think that we have such a callous over that spot.
I was actually going to ask you that. Do you think that if you weren't so, you know, so much a veteran of horror movies, that you would have felt differently about this movie?
Possibly, because I think that the parts that are supposed to be creepy are creepy maybe to like a person that doesn't watch a lot of horror films, but it could be an affect of that where it's just like, you know, we've seen things that are a little bit more disturbing than that and didn't really...
Were you expecting more disturbing?
Yeah, honestly, I was. I think that given all of the hype leading up to us finally watching it, I think that was the biggest thing for me. Right. Is because I went into it thinking, like, oh, I'm going to get blown away by this. Like, right. I'm going to get Baba pressed and just not know what, like, you know, what hit me. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up getting was sort of a run-of-the-mill, you know, mom... son,
I feel
story.
Lucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel lucky that I'm so fucking emotional that this shit gave me the creeps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's. I guess it's not a bad film, just not for me.
See, I really don't think it would have been any different for me because I wasn't scared by the movie. Right. For me, it was just the really unnerving atmosphere. It's kind of just like being alone in the dark and hearing like a door creaking, you're kind of like, oh,
the whole
shit,
hiding
that?
Under the covers.
Yeah, you know, it,
yeah, that got me too. Actually,
it wasn't like a scary film. It didn't have jump scares or anything like that, but it did have a lot of unnerving, unsettling atmosphere. And I think even if you're like a horror amateur, that it's still whether I mean I've watched thousands of horror movies and this was still unsettling to me.
Right.
It wasn't scary, but I think it under delivered on the scares. From the trailers that we saw and from all the build up, I expected it to be absolutely terrifying. And I really liked how it made me feel through the movie, but ultimately was not
scary.
So
you're a little bit more willing to forgive like the not necessarily the underwhelming, but the expectations a little bit.
Because like I was literally on the edge of my seat because of the environment and the noises and stuff. I was like, okay, shit, something's gonna happen, and it wasn't like you know, the horror movies where you're like, oh, she's sitting right next to a window, something's gonna burst through the window. It wasn't like that at all. It let your mind connect the dots, and then it just gave you the smallest morsel to keep you wanting more.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't argue that. I can't tell you not to fucking like something. You
know? Damn straight you Baba can't.
I Baba Mike, though. Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, if you've made it this far, then you've already watched the movie and it's pretty much spoiled. So yeah, that's it. That's it for the Babadook.
Yeah. So tune in next time when we do some other movie.
Yeah, we won't know until like the day before.
We could tell you we're gonna do something and then we'll change it the day before.
Yeah, that's one of our downfalls is that we're like, oh fuck yeah, it's Gremlins.
Hopefully by the time this episode is posted, we've decided on the movie and it will be on the site. It will say in the description what the next movie will be.
Maybe.
Yeah, but even when it says on the site what the next movie will be, we still change it.
How the fuck are people supposed to watch the movie and not get spoiled?
Well, see, that's how we keep you wanting more.
See,
we dangle the morsel in front of your face.
We expect our fans to be ahead of us.
Yeah.
Our and then fan. We,
oh, shit.
Our fan.
And then we Baba don't deliver.
Oh. I don't know. You guys have done some movies that after even hearing your guys' take on it makes me want to go watch them anyways.
You know, the
I'm hopefully I'm with the other listeners that it doesn't really ruin it for you.
The one
I still haven't seen The Battery, but I'm dying to see that still because of your guys'.
The one movie I get that most people have seen because of us, oddly enough, is Escape from Tomorrow.
Really?
Escape Tomorrow. No?
Escape from Tomorrowland? Escape?
Escape Tomorrow or Escape from
whatever
Tomorrow?
Whatever that
one
weird
the
fucking
other.
Disney movie.
The Disney one.
I didn't watch that because of you guys.
Good,
because
you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to watch it, but we didn't because of what you guys said.
Well, you guys are big Disney heads, right? You and
yeah,
your wife?
We're,
yeah.
We're premium pass holders. Long live it. And you know, we'll never get rid
Disney
of
Disney for life. Yeah.
But yeah, we wanted to see that movie because it was like, oh, they filmed a movie in Disneyland. That's got to be crazy. A horror movie. But then hearing what you guys said about it, I told her, like, I'm not going to waste my time with that movie.
It was Baba disappointing.
It was.
That's Babadook.
It was un-Baba bearable. Okay, that's enough.
Un-Baba bearable.
It's not going to end here. The podcast may end, but the Dukes won't.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Well, the Dukes will never end.
The Baba puns will continue.
This is Jorge signing off for episode 31 of the Who Goes There podcast. To my left, I've got Matt Smith signing off for.
Why
Matt
you gotta
Smith.
Make it confusing for it? To my left?
Yeah,
I'm like, which is trying to put
left.
Myself
to my left and in front of me, and then to slightly to my right, but more in front of me is
on a Baba clock. You'd be like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, wait, if you're 12, then I'm 3.
No, he's 6. Is what he's saying.
He would have to be 6. That means Ollie is 12.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it.
And Cody No Plugs Thompson. Yeah.
Hey, I'm 3. I'm sitting at 3 on the clock. Wait, how appropriate.
Cody, 3 on the clock, B-Zine.
That's what I was going for, guys.
Oh, sure.
I got it. I got it right away.
That Baba worked out, didn't it?
Sure, Baba did. Good Lord. This is the Who Goes There podcast saying good night, everybody.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
Say, who goes there?
Da-da.
Da-da. Hey. You gotta get him to say, who goes there?